a word for somebody in here this morning. God says, stop fighting me. Stop fighting me. We just sang how the mountains shake and the demons run because of our God, the creator of everything. There's nothing, no one more powerful than God. Amen? So he says, quit fighting me. You're not going to win. You know? You have a desire to be godly, but you're still playing both sides. And in fact, you're miserable right now. That's a good miserable because God doesn't want to leave you where you're at. But you got to decide to put both feet in and surrender totally to God. Because time is short. Your decisions to make that decision is getting almost done. And you got to step in. Give it all. We know the plan and purpose that God has for us is for us, not against us. But you find it scary right now because you have to let go of things you've hung on for years. You got things in your life that you find comfort right now and you don't want to get rid of. But inside of you know God is telling you to let go. But you keep hanging on. And new things are scary, but man, you have faith in God, he says. Trust in me and step out. And step away from the things that you've been hanging on to because they're detrimental. Stop fighting me, God says. And surrender to me. Now, his love for us is unconditional. But his love for us doesn't get us into heaven. But it's not just about going to heaven. It's about a relationship with him. And that comes through Christ Jesus. Surrender to him. And then he lives in us. He gives you the strength. Gives you wisdom. Oh my. His presence this morning. Fantastic. I'm back there. I'm grinning ear to ear. Just to feel his presence in there. You know. But don't give up. Give in. To God. I'm hoping to share with you just maybe a couple of things this morning. I want you, when you leave here today, I want you to leave with determination and strength. And not that I want that as much as God wants it. You know? You want to turn up that lights back here for a second? Thank you. We have been involved here last several weeks now, on and off about our speech. Speaking, amen? How many people spoke last week? Did you talk last week sometime, Penny? Thank you for your honesty. I figured my wife would say yes, but we all spoke last week. We're speaking today. Do you remember what you, don't tell me what you spoke, but think about what you said. Did it uplift or degrade? Did it encourage you or did it bring you more down? Did you happen to say, well, I'm so stupid I can't learn nothing? Or you happen to say, gee, I never get a break. Or everybody's better than I am. Or did you say, man, listen, I'm going through a rough patch, but you know what? I'm a child of God. I'm the head and not the tail. I just need to get catch up with God. You know? But God, I know you got a plan and purpose for my life. And I seek you, that plan is going to come out. Amen? Not being derailed by what's going on in your life. Not being derailed by what others are doing to you in your life. Just putting your faith in God and following him. You know? Every decision we make is based upon the Word of God. It should be. Amen? Now, can you pull out your Bible and show me a decision that you made this week that wasn't in the Word of God? People say, oh, what should I say here? Have you made a decision this week that you shouldn't have? Amen. Yes. Have you? Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Well, my wife pointing at me when she said that. No. Amen. If you made your decision based upon the Word of God, would it turn out different? You think it would have? Yeah. Amen. So why didn't we make our decision upon the Word of God? Did you react too quickly? Was you not in the Word earlier? Was you not prayed up, as we say? Did you take off half-cocked, as they say? Ready to go off? Somebody upset you, did they? Did you get a rejection notice? Somebody lied to you? You had a doctor report you didn't like? How quickly do we get derailed by following God, His Word? Amen? And as we hear the Word of God, it builds faith up in us, and it helps us determine our reaction before we even react. You know, one thing I challenge today is this week, every day, read the Bible twice as much as you normally do. For some of you, it would be 10 minutes instead of 5 minutes. Do that. Some of them, 15, it'd be 30 minutes. Some of you, an hour, it'd be 2 hours. More of God's Word into our life. Yeah, set it down. Yeah. And, you know, to me, the Gospel is a great place to hang out. Book of Acts, the New Testament. Old Testament is awesome, but I get more strength out of the New Testament today because we are living out more and more in the Book of Acts and stuff. But determination in your life, I'm going to do this. More of God. And I'll tell you, when you pick up that Bible, you have every excuse in the world to lay it back down again. The phone's going to ring. You're going to knock on the door. Somebody's going to text you. Going to email you. Whatever. It just seems to happen that way. And like I tell people, you know, I've got an answer machine. If you call me, leave a message. Because if I'm involved in the Word of God, I'm not going to be derailed. Amen? If it's really emergency, call me back a couple of times, I'll answer the phone. But that time of God has to be so important. Like my bride and I, you know. Anniversary, that's our time out. You know, hour and 30 minutes. But it's our time. Now, don't get me wrong. We all interrupt our dinner and stuff because of emergencies and stuff. You know, we all do that. But we have our own time. It's always good, no matter how long we've been married. Whether you've been married 6 months or 40, 50 years, always have a date night. Date night keeps you in contact with one another, you know. Ours might be a frozen pizza, you know, watching Rambo or something. But have that time. And date God also, if I can say it that way. Set a time just for you and Him hanging out together and just talk with Him. Read His Word or just talk to Him. Just like you just did here, praise and worship. I mean, more of you and less of me. Man, how does that make God feel? I want more of you, God. Help me crucify the flesh here. Oh, I get so tired of the old man raising up. Oh, come on in. Hi there, buddy. Didn't mean it. Nobody here is smarter than God, I would assume, right? Anybody better than God? No. You sure? Okay. I just want you to turn for a second. If you go to the book of Genesis, that's the very first book in your Bible. His Word is to encourage us. We're going to go to chapter 1. Verse 1, we're going to start at. The first 3 verses. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And God said, man, it's too dark here. I'm so sick and tired of darkness. I'm telling you what, can't do nothing in darkness. No, can't see my face, can't comb my hair. Man, why is so much darkness? Is that what God said? What did God say? What did He say? Then what happened? It was like He spoke and light came? Wow! So, if we're not better than God, what are we speaking? Amen? Then think of this now, Fernando. God created you in His image. He gave you dominion over the whole world. Sure, we lost that in sin, but Jesus gave it back to us at the cross when we were born again. So everything that you're going to speak has power. It's going to influence. Amen?
Amen.
Think of that. Now, we talk about, boy, he's out there shooting his mouth off. Have you heard anybody say that? Boy, they're shooting his mouth off. I mean, they're talking about anything and everything, you know. But how powerful your conversation is. How powerful your words are. Think of that. I mean, let's say right now, if I was going to open my mouth up and say a word, a bullet is going to come out of my mouth. Would I not want to be very careful where I aim my mouth at? Would you not want to be very careful where I aim my mouth at? Yeah. Like, don't look at him. Don't look at him. But I can open my mouth up and spit out a bullet, and Penny hurt you worse than if I shot you. Mm-hmm. How powerful that is. How we create things with the spoken word. That's what God did. God did not complain about the darkness, did he not? Now, God did not create darkness. Oh. When he spoke light, the darkness fled. People say, well, God created evil. No, he didn't. Evil exists because of the lack of love. Love gets rid of that. God saw what he wanted, and he spoke it, and it took place. Ourselves, folks, look at yourself today. What do you want? What is it in your life that you need? What is that burning sensation God laid upon your heart? Some of it here is health. Some of it is salvation for loved ones. Some of us is a job. Many things. Our words are powerful. And we have to understand how we're speaking. And when you speak God's word, it's going to do what it says it's going to do. How many people this week spoke words that wasn't God's? How many? You don't have to raise your hand. I thank you for your honesty and stuff, you know. How many of us spent more time complaining about the situation instead of taking care of the situation? How many of us took time this week to complain about other people, talk about other people, degrade other people, talk about how bad they are? Did that change anything? You know, Carol could have spent, and maybe she did, I'm not sure. Maybe a couple of times she might have whined about me. But she's testified before, and I have too. I mean, we were married at 19, and I was 43 years old before I come to know the Lord. And I imagine there's complaints once in a while she may be complaining. I wish my husband would come to church with me. I wish he'd do this, we should do that. Okay? But when she got down to the praying part and praying for my salvation, look what took place. Wow. So right now you might be in a situation, and you're stuck in it. And you're complaining about people around your life. Well, quit complaining about them. Start praying for them. Amen?
Amen.
Start praying for their eyes to be open, but to receive Jesus. And let your situation change that way. Because no matter where you go in life, you're going to find people that don't please you very well. You're going to find places you'll be placed in, and, well, I just can't stand there. But you can't keep running all your life. You're looking for that perfect job? I think best job ain't it was. God had it. He created everything. Looking for that perfect spouse? Hi, Carol found it. No. But it's prayer. What's that? Okay, quiet down back there. But truly, for all of us there today, if we truly start watching what we say and start speaking what we want. Amen? speaking God's word. The word tells us that God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Amen? So when he speaks it out, it does one thing. When we speak it back, it does another thing. God's word is awesome, but it doesn't do us any good if we don't apply it to our life. To just have that foundation, and I think that the word was out here earlier today, but build that foundation on the word of God and following it. Some here will fall away. Some here will throw it in and walk away. Now, I'm not saying you guys here personally. I'm talking about the church itself. You'll get to the point, I'm tired of it. Always says to speak the word of God. Let's pray the word of God. Study the word of God. Obey the word of God. Love the word of God. What more is there? You know, I'm assuming we're here because we want to follow the Lord. Amen. Okay, and we want our lives to be different. We all want our lives to be different from what Jesus brought to us. Allow his word to have favor in our life. Yeah, and Proverbs 18:21 reminds that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Wow, those who love it. So meaning, if you love to destroy people, you're going to consume it more and more. If you love to talk about people, if you love to be negative, or if you love to be uplifting, if you love the word of God, man, you're going to want it more and more and more and more. Consume. It's like eating, I don't know, eating broccoli for the first time. You know it's good for you, right? But sometimes it's acquired taste. At least for me it was. I'd rather have hamburger grease than sausage. But when you realize broccoli's good for you, and you ought to consume it, you find it a little easier to take a bite of it. And another bite. Because you know it's going to build your body. It's going to give you strength. It's going to help your muscles and whatever that stuff does for you. I don't have any idea. But you know it's good for you. You know that here you got a plate of broccoli and you got a plate of bacon. Tempting, is it not? I say bacon. Anybody else with me? Love the bacon. And so you look at the bacon, you think, you know, a broccoli. And I know I should have the broccoli. My body needs it, craving it. But I love the taste of bacon. And you go back and forth. And then inside your head, you got this little voices going back and forth. I say maybe. And then finally you decide, well, you know what? I'm going to eat the bacon. Because nobody lives forever, do they? Amen? Bacon around the broccoli. But it's when we get what I call it maturity in our walking with the Lord in our life. We choose the broccoli, the plate of broccoli, and maybe one slice of bacon. Amen? Walking with the Lord is the same way. We have the world out there, the world we've been accustomed to, the world that we liked. Okay? We have people in the world that we like, but they're of the world and not in the Lord. But we know it's detrimental to our relationships. And around them, we end up slipping. Amen? Then over here, we have a Christian fellowship. We have those who are not perfect, but have a desire to be perfect. We have those that will hold you accountable. Amen? Over here, they say, oh, go ahead. You know, have your 12th beer tonight. It won't hurt nothing, you know. Have some Jack and Jim at Beam, okay? Yeah, don't worry about that. Don't worry about getting stopped for the cops or DWI, okay? But then over here, you have your accountability partner say, hey, listen, I don't know what's going on, but you've had a couple beers today. You don't need any more, you know, or whatever you might be consuming. Amen? They're there to help you. You don't need to, hey, let me give you a ride home. You know, let's talk about this. You know, why are you trying to consume so much today? You know, see the difference in that? You know, as a brother and a Lord, we were there to help one another, to encourage one another. Over here, they'd rather see you get in trouble. You know, then they're going to talk about you. Amen? You ever have people set you up? I don't know if you guys ever drank it or not, but I might have, back in my day, had a beer or two. And you can be talked to a lot of crazy things. And people do that just so they laugh at you later on. It's not your best interest that they have. Over here, on this side, when you get in fellowship with Christians and stuff, we know we all struggle from time to time. So we relate to one another, and we try to encourage one another, and say, oh, now, watch what you're talking now, because man, your talk is very powerful here, you know. Sometimes the best thing is to say, shut up. When you don't know what to say, just meditate on the Lord. Say, God, help me keep my mouth shut. Because if I open my mouth up and say what I want to say, it ain't going to be good for nobody. You know? And there's nothing wrong having that thought in your head, because but not speaking it out, because you don't speak out because you're changing on the inside. God is changing. Years ago, you opened your mouth up and just said whatever you wanted to, wouldn't you? I'll give him peace of my mind. But then you change it. The Spirit of God is in you, teaching us, hey, listen, watch what you say. I mean, some words you speak, you never take back, can you? Some things out of haste, we probably all said things in our life of being upset, we didn't really mean it, but once you speak it, man. But as you mature in the Lord, the thoughts might still be here, but the Spirit of God helps you stop from the thoughts to the lips. That shows that you're maturing. And then you find yourself, man, I'm going to pray for that person. I don't know what's going on in their life, but it must be something pretty heavy if they're treating me that way. And so we mature that way. That's walking. So that's what he says there. Our words are very powerful, and the power of the tongue. Man. Hey, Bob, you look pretty good today, buddy. I like that beard, man. That's awesome. Yeah, uplifts them, you know. Daryl, what do you wear that brown shirt for today? See? It's just something simple as that, but that's just power of words, you know. Every day, Carol says, oh, you look handsome today, Starkey. Oh, thank you. I know, speaking about, yeah. I wear the same thing every day. Amen. Proverbs 14:30. Please be uplifted today. A tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion or envy is rottenness to the bone. Tranquil heart, peacefulness. Who loves peace? Oh, man, don't you just love to lay your head down or sit down and you have peace? And that true peace comes with the Lord, amen? Amen. Even in trying times. You know, the Passion Translation says, a tender, tranquil heart will make you healthy, but jealousy can make you sick. Oh, peaceful. Peaceful. Did you know Charlie bought a new car? Man, he's got a Corvette now. Oh, man, I always wanted a Corvette. 63, split top. Oh, my land sakes. Why did he get one like that? I've been walking with God for 23 years. I don't have a car like that. No. I got a truck driving a bumper back there. Just, oh, man. It's just, See how they start eating at you? You can let things eat at you. And it's detrimental to you. Oh, my. We can pick on Alicia. Like, oh, you know, she's got an apartment now? Huh. She's got an apartment. Oh, I don't know why. I don't have one. You know, But no, a tranquil heart. Charlie got a, he bought a Corvette, 63. Oh, you want one? Buddy, thank God you got it. Are you driving? Oh, man. And congratulations, man, you got an apartment. Yes. You've been waiting some time, haven't you? And being uplifted and just peaceful. You need a sweeper for your apartment? I'm serious. Oh, okay, I got one back here. I just wanted it's really nice and it's a small one. Okay. But see, that brings you peace. If we train ourselves to rejoice with other people's blessings, not to be jealous of them. I mean, doesn't God supply our needs? Okay? And then He might supply my needs and I blow it. Amen? You know, right now, if somebody give you a $50 bill, oh man, I needed $50 because I'm going to do it, guys. Don't put your hands up. I needed $50. Boy, I tell you, my phone bill's due. Woo-wee, I need that phone because I might get called for a job and stuff. Man, this $50, aw. Oh. And next thing you know, you find yourself a Tractor Supply, a Royal King, a Walmart, and you end up buying something that you want, but you don't need it. And then the money's gone. He you met your needs, but you blew it. Now you're jealous because somebody's around the corner is on the phone talking, and you don't have one. Amen? Things like, but it's being content with what we have and trusting God. And we follow Him. Get rid of that jealousy. Be excited. Proverbs 4:23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Watch over your heart. What do you allow to come into your heart? What do you allow to come out of your heart? Where do you put your heart at? Is what he's saying. The Passion Translation, I love it. It says, so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being. And folks, to me, that's saying, put yourself first when it comes to your feelings. The innermost. Some of us are living down here because people are beating you up with their words. Hear me, church? You're putting yourself... Folks, you're not going to please everybody in life. The number one person to please, if I can say person, is God. And other people are not happy unless you're miserable. And he's saying here, man, watch out inside. Again, it keeps going back, like I said earlier, cut off some of those who are detrimental to you. Amen?
Amen.
Not saying you can't pray for them, if God puts it on your heart. But man, when you ever walk and run into somebody, and boy, you're in a good mood, you run into them, and the time you're done talking to them, I mean, you feel like you just went through a war. You feel terrible. Ever been there? But yeah, they just, boom. Man, energy suckers. That's funny. That's the word God gave me several years ago. Because now I'm just drained. It said break off from those who are just taking your energy and not giving back to God. Some people complain to you all the time. They don't want the answers. They just want to complain. You know? And I find that difficult because, number one, I'm a man. Okay? And you give me a problem, I'm going to give you a solution. Okay? And if you come with me with a problem, Rita, okay, here's the answer right here. Here's what God said to do. Boom. And next week you come to me, hey, Pastor, I got this problem. Oh, what is it? Oh, we talked about it last week. Yeah, okay. Well, this is the solution right here, okay? Man, boom, boom. And then the third week you come, hey, Pastor, I got this problem. It's not you, Fernando. Okay. And so what I do, And so I said, well, Rita, right. You come with the issue like you did. We prayed about it. Right here, what you said to do. Have you done it yet? Well, no. Okay, well, the Word of God isn't going to change, okay? And tomorrow or next week you come to me, it's going to be the same answer, okay? So there's nothing more I can do for you until you let God do what He's already done for you and follow Him. Otherwise, all you want to do is complain, you know? And we have to watch out for that, too. I hear a lot of people talk about people and complain about people. Now, my keen ear is always waiting for them to say, okay, well, I get this problem today. Will you pray with me? Isn't prayer the key? I need prayer for strength to go through this. Well, I want to pray for those, their eyes to be open. But again, it goes back to watch what we speak, watch what we let into our life. Don't let people come in and steal that peace and joy that God gave you. I mean, if I would give my son $1 million, okay, if I said, okay, put in your house. Now, here's a lock, put on the door. Because that's for you. And he left the door unlocked. And people kept coming in and taking that money. Wow. And I come along later on and say, well, hey, son, listen, let's get that money. I've got some things I want to do with it. Well, Dad, I don't have any. You don't have any? No, they came in and took it. I feel terrible about it. Okay, I gave you a lock to lock the door with. Why didn't you lock it? Well, I don't want people to get mad at me. So he's lost what I gave him as a father, right? And I'm just using money, but you can use anything you want to. Well, when God gives us that peace and joy, when we surrender our life to the Lord, He brings it to our life, and we allow other people to come in and to destroy that. He said, wait, stop that. You're the one, hey, wait, I don't hear that. Hey, don't, Fernando, I don't care how bad that you don't like Vicky, I ain't going to listen to you. You know? Amen? Amen. Amen. Yeah, Vicky, we're just kidding you. Proverbs 18:14. Two more yet, guys. Hang in there with me. Hang in there with me. Proverbs 18:14. Proverbs 18:14 in the New American Standard says, the spirit of a man can endure a sickness, but as for a broken spirit, who can bear it? Now, you break that down to the Passion Translation. The will to live sustains you when you're sick. The will to live. And that's very important in our life. The oxygen do what they want to do. The Word of God can be written for us. But the will to live sustains you when you're sick. What comes back to me is, I shall not die but live and proclaim the glory of the Lord. That's a scripture also. But the second part of this, but depression crushes courage and leaves you unable to cope. Okay? Again, it goes back when we're going through a sickness. To have positive people enforcing, and not enforcing it, but enforcing the Word of God, speaking the Word of God out. Amen? I think that's so important for that. I mean, have you ever been around somebody and you say, oh man, I got my doctor report back and I've got this. And they go, oh really? Well, I have my aunt, she died from that. And then I have my uncle, two uncles on my dad's side, the both of them had the same thing. And I'm telling you, well, it's just terrible. They just, wow. But they do it. Oh, folks, I've had to stop people in hospital rooms. People be in there, a patient, bad shape. And they're talking about, oh, yeah, uncle had it. He died with it. Well, you walk in and you say, man, you don't look very good today. I mean, come on. How powerful. I mean, I might be in my bed looking terrible, but I don't need to hear that. Is that going to encourage me? No. Oh, you walk in there, I don't mean to lie, but hey, you look pretty good today. You know what I'm saying? Well, how are you doing today? Maybe we've been praying for you. Oh, but I don't feel very good. I understand that. But you know, power of God's prayer, all the doctor says is not much more they do. Hey, I know a guy named Jesus. Remember? And when the doctor couldn't do any more, he did many. So I'm telling you, we're praying for you, and we've got to raise him off this hospital bed, you know? And then someday, he's going to take us to heaven. Oh, well, thank you. To be encouraged that way. But man, a lot of times, whoo, it goes the opposite way. Depression come upon you. Depression is a destroyer. Amen? And we all battle with it from time to time. Amen? Two things, remember, don't be afraid to call somebody, and right away, wherever you're at, you put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And you start praising the Lord. I know you're going through this stuff. I'm just down and out today about God, but I remember what you did here, you did there. Do you have a book of remembrance? Do you keep track of what God has done in your life? You start reading, oh man, yes, yes, Lord, yes. Then you remember, no matter how bad it is, if this is my last day, God will be in your presence today. Amen? But man, have that will to live. I want every second on this face of this earth that God has purpose for me. And I don't want to shorten it a bit. Amen? Amen. And then Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. A joyful heart. That's why I love to laugh. That's why I'm always telling jokes. That's why I'm always, I don't know. I tell you, there's something about laughing. I mean, really, it stimulates your body. It does. I mean, it's the best medicine. Now, the Passion Translation, a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. Wow. Yeah. Having a tough day, not feeling very good. Put on a Red Skelton video. Some of you guys don't know Red Skelton, maybe. Awesome comedian, I think he was. Mark Lowry. You know, just, oh man, I just help you. You know, to lift you up, because again, we have to fight the enemy, and that's depression that gets on us. Red Green Show, yeah, duct tape, yes. How many people know Red Green Show? All right, out of Canada, best show that ever have been. I'm telling you what, that's how I learned all my home repairs. Yes, yes. That's why Carol always calls Ryan. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, but uplifting and being encouraging, you know. And sometimes you be around folks and you sense that, man, they're really down. Amen? Or yourself, have you ever had a bad day and somebody walk up to you and say, man, you seem kind of down out today. And you say, oh, no, I'm okay. Or you say, well, yeah, I'm having a tough day. And then when you come together, brothers and sisters, you either pray together or what's going on. And that, just by talking, sometimes just talking things out makes you feel better. You know, maybe there's nothing you can do, Vicky, for my problem. But when I share it with you, it just feels good to get it out. And it makes a difference. But laughter is a great medicine. And my wife's got a whole cabinet full when she married me, you know. Of course, 90% of my jokes are always talking about her, so I got to watch that, you know. So, you used to be 95, but I love you. Well, two become one, so I'm picking on myself. But no, but I do love my wife. And I do use her a lot of my pranks, but I don't mean to. And I try to cut back some because it makes Vicky mad when I say too many times. So. Can't hear me? You're blessed that way. So. But anyway, get back to watch what we speak, but make sure we're speaking the Word of God. And, you know, on Wednesday nights, we're teaching about prayer, and we're in intercessory prayer, and how to build a prayer, and look at God's Word and bring it together and speaking it out. It's amazing how powerful this is. So again, this week, if you mindset on every day, double your Bible reading or your intake of the Word of God. If you have a habit of listening to teachings, yeah, listen to more or play the same one over again. You know, I listened to a guy named Charles Capps. Now, he passed away a few years ago. Awesome teaching. He teaches on faith and speaking the Word of God out. And I get one program every Monday. We record it. And normally I listen to the same one all week long. I hear the same message five times. You know, so faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Amen? And so however you learn, you know, just be involved more and more. Let it build up inside of you. Stay around positive people. If you're working somewhere with a lot of negative people, just take Christ with you. Pray before you go in. And this is your mission field. And just get a list and start praying for those who might be derogatory toward you. And let God do what He wants to do, because there's nothing that God cannot do working through you and me. Amen. May the good Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He turn His face toward you and grant you peace. And may you walk in the authority that Jesus Christ won for us at the cross. May the Holy Spirit uplift you and guide you. And the blessings that God handed to Abraham rest upon you, your household, and upon your children's children's children as we declare them for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.